I have loved studying the words of Jesus with you for the past 6 weeks. This is week 7 in studying the words of Jesus. If you've enjoyed this series, give the Lord a hand for just being so direct to us. And we've got one more that we're going to dig in just a moment. I want to tell you, thank you for your prayers. I have not been in a car wreck. I have not turned over anyone's hardly. I had shoulder surgery Monday, and I'm doing real good. In fact, I feel 20 years young all over again, because after playing football on Saturday, Sundays, I always walked around feeling this way, and I just feel like I've been in a ball game yesterday, okay? But I'm doing well, and I want to thank you for your prayers, and I want to thank you for your friendship, and I want to thank you for loving God's Word. Are you ready for the Word? Let's have a quick word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being so honest and direct and shooting straight and communicating to us and letting us know what heaven really wants. And to be honest with you, Lord, many times we read your words and we say, that's beyond us. But you've been so quick to let us know that what you've taught is heaven's heartbeat for us. So then this final sermon, message, teaching, growth moment, speak to us. And may 1,000 years from now, our life, our eternal life is better because of this day at Chapel Hill. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. You know, as we started in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and we'll be in 7 in just a moment, verse by verse, Jesus spoke to us about so many things, about being the light of the world, being the salt of the earth, and about how not allowing anger to turn into a spirit of murder, and how to be careful that we really discern the sacredness of marriage and what it means to walk in our vows. And last week, how to pray boldly. And as we've looked at the statements of Jesus through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and asked the question, Lord, did you really mean that? Because they were pretty strong and they were pretty out there. Some of the statements that he made, it takes looking at the context and the setting and what was being shot at Jesus to really understand and for it to be palatable in our own living. But without exception, everything Jesus said, he really, really meant. In fact, if we look at the end of this journey of teaching, Jesus kind of closes out this teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, and I want you to read this with me, because he's like, if you'll take all these things I said and do it, read it with me very boldly into your future. Here we go. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, read it bolder, and puts them into practice. Keep reading. Do you catch what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you dare take my words and embed them into your life journey, you will have an enduring destiny, not only in your life, but in the life to come. I've made up my mind. Dale and I had a couple of days of vacation, and we went through, the Gulf Coast a little bit, and you could just see some buildings were built hurricane-proof. Some had a semi-approach to being ready for the hurricane, and some didn't have a chance. And as you look into your tomorrows, you and I do not know what type of storms could come. But I promise you, if you dare take the words of Jesus seriously. The winds can come from all directions, and you will have an enduring life forever and ever and ever. That's the promise of Jesus Christ. And as we get into the words of Jesus, Jesus speaks about what motivates you. There's three kinds of motivation. There's external motivation. There's internal motivation. But there's a higher level of a motivation called eternal motivation. And today we're going to talk about being driven in our tomorrows by eternal motivation. A couple months ago, Lily had this good-looking guy come into this office where she was working, and she's happily married. We're so glad Lily and Lucas love each other, you know? And she looked at this cute guy and said, "Hey, I want you to come to our church and meet someone at our church." And the guy says, "Really?" And Lily told him about this person, and the guy slave said, "Do I just have to come to the parking lot, or do I have to come into the church?" That was external motivation. External motivation is when pressures from the outside try to get you to do stuff, and you go, "Well, I guess I need to do that. Maybe I don't want to do that." And if you're only going to church because somebody's putting pressure on you to do it, there's a higher level. Internal motivation comes from, "I want to do this. This is what I crave. That's what I want." But there's an even higher level of internal motivation. Don't you love to be around people that have intrinsic motivation? You don't have to tell them to get with it on the field, coach. Man, you can just, they love the game. They just want to play. Get me off the bench. They've got that internal. But there's a higher level of motivation called eternal motivation. Because even in internal motivation, even though it's in your heart, some days you just don't feel it. Come on. It's in you, it's in your character, it's what you want, but you just don't feel it, but you still do it. But there is a place that we're going to talk about today called eternal motivation. Then when you do what you do, you go where you go, and you say what you say, and you live like you live, because you are so linked in to eternity. It drives you day by day when you feel it and when you don't. Where is this eternal motivation? Look at it. It's the words of Jesus, and Jesus really meant it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21. Help me read it boldly, because I need you to help me with my strength today. Okay, read this one more verse. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. "Do not Don't you think it's cool that all of us are declaring the Word of God at Chapel Hill Dunwoody right now? I think it's just awesome when we open our mouth and we all declare the Word of the Lord to Atlanta. You ought to enjoy and be comfortable in reading and declaring the Word of God out loud. But if you're going to have eternal motivation, Jesus talks about being very careful about where you store things. Now, in America today, there's 50,000 franchises of You Store It, and I've used a few. They're quite expensive. How many of you figured that out around here? They're very, very expensive. And you know, we put the things that's important to us, but it's so easy to misplace them, and we put things in these storage bins, and they get out of date, and they get away from us, and Jesus is saying, the things that really matter, I want you to really be calculated on where you store the most important things in your life. Dr. Bruce Wilkerson, who lives up in North Atlanta, I am going to meet this guy. I promise you, I'm going to find a way to meet him. In his book, where he wrote The Life God Rewards, it's a little book kind of like The Prayer of Jabez. If you haven't read it, you need to. Has this graph that I want to introduce to you or reinstate to your thoughts, where it says, this is your future. I want you to see your future. I want to point to the screen. Everybody point to the screen. Say, that's my future. Okay, say, that's my future. That little dot represents your life. Your life is that little bitty dot, the life God has given you. Now, we're all at different places on that dot. We've got a 14-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old, and some of us, it's a little bit further on in the journey of the dot. That line into infinity represents eternal life that you will spend as a Christ follower because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Can you say praise the Lord for that? But hear what I'm about to say. The measure of your privilege, the level of your delight, the measure of your reward forever and forever and forever into infinity, represented by that straight line, will be determined by how you live in that dot. That dot is your life. That dot is the totality of all your years. And how you discern and say, I'm not going to be motivated because mommy wants me to be motivated, or I'm just not going to be motivated because I want to do good myself. But you're motivated because you know you've got a little dot to live. And then after that dot is over, you are going to enjoy heavenly reward forever and ever and ever. It gets into your thoughts, it gets into your actions, it gets into the way you live, and you begin to say, I want to live now with the next age already on my mind. You know, it is, if you could almost put a statement on that line, if you could be so humble, so wise, with so much foresight to think about this diagram and say, I want to live thinking about the future. And my ethics now is determined by that reward measure in the future. Have you ever had some times in your life when you have this thought, I wish I knew then. Oh, I ought to know now. Come on, act like you live in the same world I live in. If I only knew then, I'm from Arkansas. I don't know what I was thinking when that Sam Walton guy was starting Walmart years ago right under my nose, and I wasn't smart enough to buy a penny of Walmart stock. If I only knew then what I know now. And if we could take understanding that God's word is saying, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to live in privilege forever and forever and forever. And in this book, I will tell you now what you will understand later is the way to walk in that heavenly reward. That's what we want to do. Jesus, if you're here and you're trying to be a little bit, you know, really, really spiritual and go, you know, I do what's right and I do what's honorable and I do what's noble and I'm compassionate and I love the Lord not for any reward that I'll ever get in heaven, but only because it's the right thing to do. If that's your thinking, I applaud how noble your thoughts are, but that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus very clearly said, there's a reward waiting for people who live in the dot the way I want you to live in the dot. If you love me in the dot, if you serve me in the dot, if you have compassion in the dot, if you allow heaven to fill your thoughts in the dot, I will reward you when you get to heaven. And you can say, I'm not doing all this good stuff because I want a reward. I want to tell you, change your thought process and might as well get happy because there's going to be a day when Jesus is going to reward you because you loved him. Reward is a part of eternity. If you don't believe me, If you don't believe me, listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are you when people look down on you at work because you're a Christ follower, and they insult you and they make fun of you at school because you're not saying what they're saying and not doing what they're doing. He says, rejoice, because great is your what? Your reward in heaven. Jesus is going to give everyone a special reward that was not ashamed of the gospel when their culture was trying to crush their faith. Hey, a reward's coming for you. Matthew chapter 10 is pretty special to me, because it said if anyone has a preacher or evangelist or a pastor comes by and give them as much as a cup of cold water. I'm calculating all that. Am I accounting and my books are watching that. And I'm going to give them a prophet's reward. There was this couple when I was a young evangelist, and just out of college. I'd go out to California to preach for 2 or 3 months at a time, and I'd go preach at these churches, but the revival would be over on Thursday and Friday, and I wouldn't have a place to stay. But they opened their home to me, and as a young preacher just getting started, they let me know that their house was my house. And Stephanie and Dan, I want to tell you, I know you don't open your home to Lily when she came here because you were wanting a reward. And I know you didn't open your home for Alex to stay with you when he was trying to get started with his career over here. But I want to tell you in very clear terms, when you get to the other side, there is a reward waiting for you the way you have opened your home to people who want to do great things. Come on, give the Lord a hand right now. I will bless you. I will reward you when you honor those who have a heart for God. Hey, Jesus said this, you know, we're going to have our Operation Christmas, and all of us are going to get an opportunity to strategically love our community with gifts and compassion and all kinds of benevolence to underprivileged children. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 25? He said, there's going to be a day when I will speak to those who love me on my right, and I say, welcome into the presence of the Father and receive the inheritance I had waiting for you. Because I was hungry and you fed me. I was in prison. You came by to see me. I want you to know something. A part of your destiny is stepping into heaven and being rewarded, because Jesus says, I will reward those who live in the dot for my glory and for my praise. Glory to the Lord. You know, most of us in this room are acquainted with a great book by a leader of leaders called 7 Habits of the Highly Effective Person, Stephen Covey. I got a hold of that when I was a young man. Sharpen the saw. Man, if you're going to preach, work at preaching. Don't, you know, if you can't sing, don't try to be a singer. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad I don't sing solos? Come on, get excited. But if you're going to preach it, brother. That's what it means, sharpen the saw. But one of those things arrested me. At about 30 years of age, he said, live with the end in view. Young adults, live now with the end in view. And it's like, that's so wise, because there is a moment in your future. Let me talk right to you now. If you're a Christ follower, you're going to a judgment of believers, and you won't be judged for any sin. Man, when I finish this next sentence, would somebody help me shout? Because I want to shout, and I don't need to be shouting. But you will not be judged for any of your sin if you're a Christ follower, because the judgment for your sin was already paid for on the cross of Jesus Christ, and he paid for our sin. So we're going to be at this judgment, and none of us are going to get in trouble for the stupid stuff we've done. Hallelujah. Yeah. But we're going to be judged for how we lived our dot. And did we do it for the glory of God? And your name is going to be called Trish. And your name is going to be called Tish. And we'll watch you, and you'll come and kneel before the Lord, and you'll lay your dot, how you served him in the dot, at his feet. And it's like, as a 30-year-old, I thought, that's the most important moment of my life. I've had some very important moments. When I asked Gayla to marry me, when I got saved, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, when Daly was born, when I said yes, sir. But the most important moment of my existence and yours is when all the saints, sir, with bated breath standing, and your name, Kenneth, is called. And you kneel before Jesus, just you and him in an audience of heaven, and he looks to see how genuine your journey was. That's big time. I started studying, and I wrote a book when I was a young man, and I've told you about it before, called Wood, Hay, or Precious Stone, Investing Now in the Age to Come, or Living Your Dot Now so that you can reap rewards later. This is sold in some of the finest garage sales across America. Go on to Amazon, you might get one for $2. It's worth it. But I found out, what's Jesus looking for in that dot? You know what I discovered? A verse on how you treat other people. I found verses on how you talk to other people. Did you know idle words and painful words you speak to people will be a part of your reward or lack of it in the age to come? How you love the Word of God. Just being that Sunday morning person said, I'm getting to church because the Word of God's going forth. And loving God's Word is going to be a measure. How you long for the Lord's appearing increases your reward. How long has it been since you've just walked around as a Christian saying, Jesus, I can't wait till you come again? Probably a long time. How you lead, how you use your God-given gifts and talents to serve. All these things are there. And I know some of you young adults, I want to talk to you personally right now. You kind of look at your life and you think this. I want to talk heart-to-heart, young adults, right now. I want to challenge you to live starting right now with the end in view. You have external motivation, and you have a lot of internal motivation, or you wouldn't be doing what you do. But I want to challenge you to take it to the new level. Live the rest of your days with eternal motivation. And you do your life what Jesus said, knowing he really meant it. Notice what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 6, wherever your treasure is, there is where your heart is going to be also. Now, if you want to know what leaders do these two or three things. They cast a clear vision, they model the way, and they speak to people's hearts. And as a leader to yourself, how many of you know we have to be self-leaders every once in a while? How many of you will admit with me, if you don't take your place as leading yourself, not taking the Lord's place, but following after the Lord in the leadership of your own life, your life will go amok. Have you ever looked up and say, oh, I'm not where I need to be, and realize it's because you're not providing the right kind of leadership as a follower of Jesus like you need? We've all been there. We've got to be good at self-leadership. And what is a leader? A leader speaks to people's hearts. You remember when you took speech? I don't want to say anything that's rude, but in speech, everybody says, I can't talk in front of public. It's terrifying. It scared me. What did your speech teacher tell you? Think of everybody that you're talking to in their underwear. And you'll be laughing at them, and you'll be comfortable, and you won't be all uptight. Well, I don't think of you in your underwear. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Never have, no problem with that. But you know what I do when I preach to you? I see it on you right now. I see on your chest your heart. And I'm going for your heart. I'm speaking to your heart. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit will help say something through His Word, through my simple words to your heart. And if you're going to lead yourself, you got to be able to manipulate and guide and direct your heart. And Jesus said, this is how you do it. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will come along. Great message. Because sometimes we don't want to serve Jesus. We don't want to live for God very passionately. What do? Put some treasure in the kingdom. Put some commitment into servant leadership. Put some time into His service. And as you put some treasure in His kingdom, all of a sudden your heart will come running around and your heart will be where it needs to be. For where your treasure is, your heart will show up real quickly. Come on, somebody. Let your heart and your treasures get together. I want to get back to young adult. Say, I don't have a lot of treasure. I got college debt. I got credit card debt. And I really don't know how I'm even going to pay my phone bill this month. And some of you young adults are thinking, I don't have any dreams because it's stacked against me. Hold it. Hold it, young adult. If you will dare right now, wherever you are in your dot. See, we don't know how many days we've got, how many years you're going to get to live. I don't know how much longer of a dot you got. But if you will live your dot right now with eternity in view, oh, you're rich. Yeah. You're so rich. You may not have anything but bills. But if you'll live for eternity, well, I want to tell you something. There's some more mature people that's been here longer than some of you young adults. And guess what? Listen to what I'm about to tell you. They're not struggling with paying their phone bill. They're not struggling with credit card debt. They're not struggling with college debt. No, they've got some money put aside. But you know what they would do? Listen to me. If your dreams are small, you know what those people that have no money problems would do that's in this room? Some of them, most of them, would give up every penny they have right now for your strength, for your youth, for your health, and for your opportunity. Catch it. They would give up whatever they've saved, whatever security they give it all away to start right where you are with the opportunity and the challenges ahead to live so many more decades again in that dot, bringing glory and praise to the name of the Lord Jesus. And I want to prophesy wherever you are on the dot. If you're a young adult and you're overwhelmed by debt, there's still a place that you can make a difference as you give your strength and your health and your youth and your energy to the kingdom of God. And you may be saying, I don't have a dime, but you know what? I'm investing all I have in eternity. God will bless you. Hallelujah. And if you're here and you're not as young as you used to be and you couldn't sleep last night like I couldn't because you were hurting so bad, I want to tell you this. There is a reward waiting for you because you've sent treasures ahead where thieves and bandit and rust cannot corrupt. And I will prophesy there'll be a day when you step into eternity and you'll get your brand new body and all pain will be gone and you will enjoy the reward of living your dot for His glory and for His praise. Oh, man. You know, let me close with this. If it's time for me to just tell you, give your dot to Jesus. I'm not a financial advisor, but I am one who can treasure, tell you about your treasures. Jesus said, don't treasure your treasure so much that you miss your real treasure. That's what that word. Don't treasure your treasure so much that you miss your real treasure. Listen to me as we close. If I could provide for you a financial product or a financial vehicle that offered what living your dot for eternal reward and values can bring to you, if you're smart at all, you would sign up immediately. Listen to me. If I could offer you a financial mechanism or vehicle that has been flawless in its history, it's historically paid dividends, not one bad year. Every year it has a track record in history of paying dividends. You'd be crazy not to sign up. If I could promise you a financial vehicle that is absolutely safe and no thieves can steal it, there's never a downturn. You never lose a dime. It never goes backward. It's never, never been stolen or gone down, but it is safe. Be another reason to take it. But if I could offer you a financial investment package that's been flawless throughout history from Abel's sacrifice, that's totally protected, that pays dividends right now. Right now. How many of you would say, I'm thankful that Jesus wants to reward me, but if he never had a reward waiting for me on the other side, I've been so blessed just to serve him and be a part of what he's doing and helping him build his church, that alone has been a blessing to my life. And if I had 100,000 lives, I'd build his church with him all over again. Come on, give the Lord a hand right now. Jesus said, I will build my church. You know why I love being with you? Because I love being with you and building the church. If I could give you a financial product that was totally protected, that has no historic downturn, that pays dividends in the present, but also matures in the future in such a way you can't imagine. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, neither has it even come into the thoughts of man, the reward and the things that God has waiting for his who love him. If I could offer you an investment and strategy with all those strengths, you would have to run for it with all your life. And that's what Jesus offers when he says, give me your dot, and if you'll serve me in your dot, I will reward you forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise his holy name. Give the Lord praise right now. Praise God. Praise God.